Back Shoes Back, whatever, a podcast. I'm Taylor.
I'm Jacob.
And we are back after a long, long hiatus. The longest hiatus I think we've ever had. It's like over a month, right?
Yeah, but there will be longer ones.
Oh, my God. I think we had to take a serious mental break after our last episode, which was our AJ episode, which at this time has had 118 listeners, which is really cool and awesome. But it wasn't because the AJ episode sucked. I mean, we really loved recording it, and we loved recording it with Ruby, but it was god-awful to edit. It was, I think it mentally drained us immensely.
I think it clocks in at an hour and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing recorded was 3 hours.
Yeah.
So we had to cut like an hour and 20 minutes out.
Pretty much.
We didn't have to, but we did.
Yeah.
So that's why it took so long. And that's why it is so long. Mm-hmm. And that's why the hiatus was so long.
Yes, it's true. But you know what? So many people listened to it, so they must have liked it. Must have been good.
Yeah, so thank you. So
yeah.
How was your hiatus? That was before Christmas and New Year's. So how was your Christmas and New Year's break?
Or
whatever.
Christmas and New Year's break was great. I for Christmas I went to go see my family in Michigan. And for our listeners that have been keeping up with us, you know that I'm a brand new driver. And I drove by myself to Michigan there and back. And it was awesome. My first road trip ever. And I love driving. I don't love parking, though, because I've already made some fuck-ups on my car because of trying to park and scraping the side of my bumper.
Nice.
So now I need to get that fixed.
Goody.
Uh-huh. New Year's was good. I went to a friend's house. Like, under the wire, I made plans. Because, like, I hate New Year's overall. I think New Year's sucks. Just, why? Like, the concept sucks. Think about it. Like, it's this whole, like, excitement build around, like, that it's a whole new year, new beginning. But there's all this pressure that you need to, like, have a big party and, like, be around people. And I think there's, like, something in my head that makes me feel like New Year's is, like, where you don't want to be alone at all to rein in, like, a new beginning. It just is something I just can't, like, quite shake. So I don't like celebrating New Year's alone. I don't like it. It's weird. It's weird.
Well, whatever you want to fixate on, I guess.
I have many idiosyncrasies, and that's just one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? How was your winter break, New Year's? You did some traveling.
I did. I went to San Francisco. One of my family friends, who I've known since we were about 5 or 6, he went to Santa Cruz, and then after that, he moved to San Francisco, and that was like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I was back for Thanksgiving, I got a lot of crap for not having gone out and seen them. And so then I was like, all right, well, I have this huge 2-week break, so might as well take advantage of that. And I went out there. It was only 3 days. My flights were, I got in late both times to both locations. But it was really rainy the first day, but then the second 2 days, which were Christmas day and then the day after Christmas, it was beautiful. It was maybe like 65 degrees in San Francisco. We walked the majority of the time, so I did a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. Because San Francisco is small.
Oh, okay.
It's like 5 or 7 miles by 5 or 7 miles.
Really?
That's how big the whole city is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's
that
really
is pretty
small.
Big. Oh.
And then I spent New Year's, or I spent the rest of the time in Minneapolis, and New Year's I spent with my cousin and his girlfriend, and yeah, it was really low-key, laid back.
Cool. It's your cousin Noah?
Cousin Noah, yeah.
It's a riot. We need to have him on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Figure that out.
Yeah, we should.
Mm-hmm.
And my New Year's was good. Yeah, we just hung out at my... cousin's girlfriends, who's also my buddy, Monica LaPlante, at their new practice space in Northeast Minneapolis. Just sat and drank wine and listened to records, and then we went out to the bar and drank some more, and then went back to my cousin's and drank more. I think I went to bed at like 3 or 4 a.m.
Okay.
All I remember was, the last thing I remember was going on a rant about how Paul Giamatti and Giovanni Ribisi had never made a movie together.
Dear God.
I also puked.
Oh, okay.
Also, we drink a lot of wine.
Oh, okay. It's probably what led to the puking.
Yeah. I'm on a wine kick right now.
I know. You have, do you want to tell our listeners about your wine app?
No.
Wow. But how will they follow you?
They won't.
Oh, okay.
That's the point.
You never know. You have a following.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, that's what's new with us.
So, you did not miss much.
Any plans for the new year, though, Taylor?
Well, it's almost into February. What new plans do I have? I feel like I accomplished so much in 2018. Between house, car, and podcast, that I really don't know how I'm going to top 2018, but I'm going to figure it out. Go big, go home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel good having this time off. I feel like we refreshed for this podcast. I'm super stoked because this Friday, the new Backstreet Boys album comes out. There are already 3 singles, videos deep. They just released a fourth, not a single, but a song off their album.
That's a single.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know.
Single doesn't even have a video.
Oh, okay. That's right? True. Yeah, I guess so.
Has it been played on the radio?
I don't know.
Who listens to the radio?
It's on Spotify.
So then it's a single. Okay. I guess that's how we gauge it now.
Sure.
What is the Chicago radio station to listen to for new music from the Backstreet Boys?
I think Kiss FM and B96.
I wouldn't know, because I just listen to the rock.
Yeah. I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to any radio at all, because I hate commercials. But also, I feel like radio is dying, because when you have, like, streaming such as, like, Spotify and Pandora, why would you even want to go listen to the radio when you have those two?
Yeah.
I don't really care too much for disc jockeys. Sometimes they have good stuff, but other times, like, I don't want to hear you talk. I just want to hear my music.
I listen to Sherman and Tingle.
Do you? Is that Q101?
I think it is. Q101? It's whatever's on my radio right now, I turn it on.
All
right. But they really only play, like, it's almost always a Beatles song or a Led Zeppelin song and sometimes an Aerosmith song.
And I think they got to get creative.
I mean, I'm really just there for the Creedence Clearwater and Jimi Hendrix.
Gotcha. Those good picks. So today's episode, we decided to talk.
Oh, what was that, Jacob? Any new plans for you for the new year?
I'm so sorry. What's that, Jacob? Any new plans for you for the new year?
Yeah, but I don't think you want to hear them since you just showed that you didn't want
to. No, we're 11 minutes in and we haven't even talked about, I'm trying to learn from our last mistake. Of the 3-hour AJ episode.
Yes. New.
You have other podcasts coming out.
2 new podcasts in the works.
Yeah.
Which I hope happen because they seem fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell our listeners about it in case they want to check it out?
No, because actually. Both podcasts, I have alias and made up personas for both of these podcasts.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting that the Backstreet Boys one is where your true self really shines.
Yeah, this is the only one. The one in, I have a made up name and a made up background for both the other podcasts. And so do all my co-hosts that are going to be on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
They'll be cool, though. Yeah. I hope. I think.
Okay. When do you start recording?
I think today was supposed to be.
Oh, God.
Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great.
Enough about that. Should we get into
why we're here?
Yeah, why we're back.
Why we're back. We were thinking of albums or podcast episodes, and one of my all-time favorite albums is Black and Blue. So I thought, hey, why don't we do Black and Blue? And you didn't seem opposed to it, so I thought that was awesome.
Well, you know, I don't really know what any of these albums like, so I couldn't really, like, oppose it.
You just kind of allow me to let you go blindly into all of these without any expectations or anything, and I appreciate that. We did some prepping for this episode, and I made Jacob watch the documentary of the Backstreet Boys Around the World. And so for those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about, the Backstreet Boys did a lot of promotion for this album. It's their fourth album that they released, and it was right after the Millennium hype. So this was the peak of their fame. I think it was like the highest that their fame has ever been was this album. And so they did a great promotional idea of they want to go around six continents around the world in 100 hours. So they did that and they documented it, and then MTV played it as part of that promotion. So we watched that documentary before recording this.
We did watch it, and it was really neat. I don't think I understood the premise until the very ending, and then I was more blown away at the end than I was. I should have been more blown away in the beginning, because I didn't know that they were doing promotion in all these different countries in 4 days.
Yeah.
Because at the end, Howie or Kevin or AJ said something.
Oh, AJ was like, "I'm sick of seeing these boys. I've spent 4 days seeing them, and I'm sick of them." And you're like, 4 days? I'm like, yeah, they went around the world in 100 hours.
Yeah, like, and that's when it blew my mind,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we watched their documentary, Show 'Em What You're Made Of, when they were, I wouldn't say like at the lowest point of their fame, but they were probably the lowest popularity-wise when they did that. And then you saw this documentary at the height of their popularity. Would you say they were different from when you, now that you've seen both of those documentaries?
Well, in Show 'Em What You're Made Of, it wasn't like the Around the World, because that one, they were meeting fans, and this one, mm-hmm. they didn't meet any fans. They just went to old haunts.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Stomping grounds, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Isn't but the like, same thing?
Huh?
Isn't it the same thing?
Stomping grounds?
Haunts.
I don't know if they're the same thing. Maybe. Sure. Yes.
Good.
But like personality-wise, did you find them to be any different? Because I kind of thought they were the same.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool.
More stuff not happens in
yeah.
Show 'Em What You're Made Of.
Oh, no, for sure. But like think about like, right? So like Around the World is before AJ's drug abuse. Before, like, Nick gets married with, like, kids. Before most of them have kids and get married. Really, like, Kevin and Brian are the only ones who got married at that time. I don't think they had any kids at that point. So it's, like, before they're family men, before they've had, like, the drop of their success.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty cool that AJ, Brian, and Kevin had a lot of gratitude in that documentary of how big the plane was and what they got to accomplish.
Yeah.
So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was one thing that I noticed that was similar to Show 'Em What You're Made Of was their gratitude to their fans.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, this is why we love what we do. And this is why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. This is why we do what we're doing, because, you know, our fans, you know, inspire us and, Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I don't know if you caught this, but when Kevin was getting off the plane And he was, right before he was getting off the plane, he was asking the pilot, like, are you going to be joining us in the next country? And I thought, I don't know if you picked up on that, but I kind of thought it was very fascinating that Kevin was genuinely interested in, like, the people that flew them around the country, or like the people kind of helping them do what they do. Mm-hmm. And then later on, when he's in the van and he's looking at the plane and he's saying, he's like, this wouldn't even happen without these four people behind me. Like, these four people, like, none of this would exist. Yeah. So I kind of noticed those, like, moments of gratitude and, like, the height of their fame. And I feel like they've always been like that. It's just so consistent, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't know what they did, they traveled to six continents. They started in Sweden, which I totally forgot about because Sweden was so short on the video.
Yeah.
Then Tokyo, then Australia, then South Africa, then Brazil, and then came back home to America. Which country did you find the most fascinating that they went to? Or, like, what footage was the most fascinating to you?
The Australia one was funny because it only showed two fans in the beginning. So I made the comment, wow, they only have two fans in Australia. That was funny.
That was funny. Yeah, it was a funny moment. Yeah.
Cape Town was really small.
That was. I liked the lion.
But they was like a pit stop.
It was like a pit stop for them.
It wasn't a lion. It was a cheetah.
A cheetah. That's right. It was a cheetah.
No.
When you were seeing them in Tokyo and you're like, wow, their fans are crazy. I'm like, wait till they get to Brazil. And that was like literally 10 minutes of footage of fans screaming and like hounding their bus.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, and the whole time, like, the boys are genuinely concerned for these women, and they're climbing on the bus. And then there's this one footage of, like, one of the women almost pinned between the bus and the car, and then another one who, like, fell into the crowd, and they're like, oh, my God, is she going to get picked up? Is she going to get picked up? And I'm like, oh, my God. Even though I knew what was happening, I knew the anxiety. I was like, oh, my God, pick her up. Pick her up. Because we all, like, I thought something bad was going to happen.
Do you think maybe they're going so psycho because they see this as an opportunity to get out of the third world country?
Oh, God.
And be part of a harem to the Backstreet Boys?
You mean like the Backstreet Boys are their meal ticket to America?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think about that.
I did. I thought about it like three times.
At least three times?
Because when they looked like so insane, like, mm-hmm. like they were crying like, they had lost, like, a pet or something.
Oh.
I was like, they must really want to get out of Brazil.
Oh, or God.
They must really love these guys, but why? I don't know. That was just me.
All right, would you love the Backstreet Boys so much to, like, get to America? Is that what you would do or not? Not really. Because you cannot relate. You can relate, but you can't relate. Would the Backstreet Boys be your meal ticket to America? I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I thought, okay, so I kind of had an epiphany when we were watching this documentary because this whole thing that they did was Brian's idea. And then I was like, wait a second. Everybody was also Brian's idea. And this documentary was Brian's idea. Maybe Brian is the creative genius of this group. Think about it. He wrote Larger Than Life, big hit. He came up with some of the creative concepts. Maybe he is the real creative genius out of this group. That's all. Just saying. He seems to, but also, like, he was super pragmatic in how he talked about this trip. He's like, in the beginning, he was like, I know this is business, and we're here to do business, and it's going to be a few days, and we're probably going to get exhausted, and this is all, you know, part of the promotion that we're doing, blah, blah, blah. Although, I will say that he said something in the documentary. He's like, oh my God, this trip is almost over and I can't wait. And I immediately thought about the cruise. And I was like, why did he look at me when I said that? I should have just said I was referencing the documentary from the Black and Blue trip. I'm going to have to retry this again. I'm going to give it another go. And then mention that comment. I'm sure the second time around it will land much better than when I was on the cruise.
Very cool epiphany.
Two epiphanies there.
Well, the second one was very cool.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
That's right. He did.
He did. He said that. He's like, oh man, I can't. He's like, you know, I'm glad almost, or something like, I'm glad this is almost over, which is word for word what I said. Maybe that's why he looked so confused at me when I said that, because it triggered his memory.
But here's the thing. On the cruise, he has to travel with his harem.
His harem.
Yeah. There was no harem on the plane.
Yes. That is true.
There was just four guys in a bed.
Four guys in a bed.
Mm. Which ones were in the bed?
I think it was everyone but Kevin.
All right, Kevin.
Kevin was too busy wanting to fly the plane.
Yeah, Kevin. Kevin's flying. Everybody's sleeping in bed with each other.
It's true. Kevin's like always the dad, you know? Just like driving the plane, making sure the kids are sleeping.
Yeah.
Typical Kevin. Kevin's hair game was on point. I think. I thought to myself, for best hair, he won that. It's quite nice. Howie's not so much. I did not like the flat iron straight hair he was rocking. I didn't like it at all.
Mm.
That was my least favorite Howie hair genre. It was the black and blue one. I didn't like it.
I hated AJ's blue hair in the beginning.
Okay.
It made me want to vomit. Oh, all of them looked, except for Brian, in the beginning when they were in Stockholm, all of them looked like anime characters.
Yeah.
With their hair. AJ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Howie.
With the feathers.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Nick.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they were preparing for Tokyo. Just saying. They were very themey. All their clothes were black and blue. So it wouldn't surprise me that's what they did.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Let's get into the real reason why we're hearing this was to rate and talk about this beautiful album, Black and Blue. So how many times did you listen to this album again?
Seven times. Yes.
That's impressive. How many times did you listen to Millennium?
Once.
Oh my God.
I did.
One too many for you, I assume. That's okay. Jacob's pouring wine right now because he's ready to get into this album. Overall, if you had to rate this album 1 to 5.
No, this will do.
Okay, I know we're doing the song.
At the end of each episode.
Yes.
I'll tell you my ranking.
Okay.
So I'll tell you where it ranks in regards to Millennium.
Okay.
Since Millennium's the only other one that I've heard.
Okay.
And then next week when we do DNA, mm-hmm. then I'll tell you is DNA where it's placed in regards to.
I like it.
Yeah.
But we are gonna do song by song, right?
Yeah, I have that. I'm ready for that.
All right. So here's some fun facts about Black and Blue, real quick. So Max Martin, who was the writer for most of their songs and their previous albums, did a lot of their songs for this one.
Yep, I knew that.
So that was pretty impressive. They actually co-wrote more songs in this album than before. So that was impressive.
What was the one before this one? Was it Millennium?
Millennium, okay. Yeah. Who do you think wrote the most songs in this album?
I know in Millennium, Brian wrote 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just said that whole tour thing was Brian's idea or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Brian wrote the most. Is that what your question was?
Yeah. Is that your final answer?
No. Ah, now you're making me second guess it.
No, I mean, if you say it's Brian, I just want to know.
Okay, hopefully it was Brian.
Hopefully yes. It was Brian, okay. The answer, Howie.
Ooh.
Howie co-wrote most of these songs. He co-wrote Shining Star with Nick. He, all of them wrote The Answer to Our Life.
He did Shining Star, Answer to...
So all of them wrote Answer to Our Life. All of them wrote Time, and then he wrote How Did I Fall in Love with You.
Okay.
And then AJ wrote Yes, I Will, and then Kevin wrote It's True. So Howie did the most, which I thought was interesting. I would have not have guessed.
And then Max Martin wrote most of the rest.
Yes, pretty much. Like, co-wrote most of the rest. This album is also like, so the Backstreet Boys have broken a record in SoundScan as having having sold over a million albums in the first week back to back. No one else has done that.
Wait, so what does that mean?
So in the first week of album sales, actually Millennium sold a million records in its first day. Black and Blue sold 1.5 million in its first week, and SoundScan is like record. Yeah. SoundScan said that no other group has sold a million albums in its first week back to back. So right now, the Backstreet Boys to this day have still currently held that title, nice. Which is really impressive. And then they've sold so far 24 million albums of Black and Blue.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So those are some fun facts. And then lastly, what I wrote down so many notes, Black and Blue is, referred to as their two musical sides, Black, which is R&B, and Blue, which is like soulful crooning. And that's why they called it Black and Blue. That's what Wikipedia said. You know how I feel about it.
Oh, where's the pop part?
Well, the pop is the blue, huh?
Wait, what?
The blue is, that's what it said.
Oh, R&B. But you didn't say that.
Blue is the crooning pop part. Crooning is pop. Singing.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. You should have said pop instead of crooning. Well, you should have said crooning. I'm not telling you how to do your job, but this is what you should have done.
But you just did.
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho, let's get started. I'm going to... What?
No.
What? What's that look on your face for? What did I do? What should I have done better?
Nothing.
Okay, Oh, thank you so much. So the first song, are we in order of album?
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, we're back.
Yeah. So we're about to go into each song off of Black and Blue. So last time we did this for Millennium, I think you told me it was on a scale or a rank of
1 to 4.
1 to 4.
Yeah.
And when I did this, I did 1 to 5. Mm. So
mix, switching it up there.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. In Millennium, you did the ranking. And I critiqued your ranking.
Okay.
But now I've ranked with you, so I'm curious to see what our rankings are.
Well, I'm not putting them in rank. I'm just saying, like...
The number? No, I'm saying,
on
like,
a scale.
Yeah, the scale.
I'm not putting, like, which one did I like the most. But, I mean, I could do that, too.
Eh, whatever. We'll figure it out. The Call was their first one. What number did you rate it?
Do I get to talk about the videos at all, or do I do that?
Yeah, we could do both. When we get to each song that's had a video.
Or should we do that after?
No, we could do it in between.
Let's do it after.
All right. Okay, fine.
Because it's not fair to the other songs that don't have videos, I think.
Aww. That's really inclusive of you. I appreciate that. The Call.
The Call.
How did you rate it?
So on a scale from 1 to 5?
Yeah.
5.
Really?
I really liked it.
Really? I gave it a 4.
Can I tell... Well, maybe I should wait. I just wanted to tell you how I liked this album. I'll tell you at the end.
Okay. You're second-guessing yourself here.
Well, we'll do it at the end.
Okay. So, you really liked The Call. I gave it a 4. Why did you give it a 5?
I think the song just switched up a lot for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it had different chord progressions that I really appreciated. And it was exciting. It had a little bit of a narrative.
It did, yeah.
And, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to describe how you like music sometimes. I mean, sometimes you have to say, I liked it because I liked it.
What spoke to you the most to make it a 5?
Yeah.
Your top song, yeah.
I mean, it was exciting. I guess the tempo I liked a lot.
Yeah.
And
it was very unique,
the harmonies I liked. It was, The whole album, I'll just say this right in the beginning, the whole album is completely different from Millennium.
Oh, it is. It's so different. Their sound is so different. It's much more upbeat than Millennium.
I kind of just want to, like, get it out of the way and just say,
get it out of the way.
I really like this album.
Really?
I really liked it. I didn't think, because here's the thing. We did the Millennium episode, mm-hmm. and I listened to Millennium, and I was like, okay, aside from, like, singles and a couple other songs, I really kind of felt like whatever for a lot of the songs on Millennium. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of nervous when we were going to do this one. I was like, ugh, another Backstreet Boys album. They have, like, how many? Like, 10?
Yeah.
They're going to have 10?
Yeah, they're going to have 10.
I was like, ugh, I don't know if I can do any more. But I really liked it.
Wow.
Every, like, the whole album and the songs themselves felt like they were fully actualized products. Where the songs on Millennium, aside from, like, the singles, obviously.
Yeah.
Everything else kind of seemed like filler and more like...
It seemed kind of like, sleepy, right?
Like, here were some concepts for songs, but they weren't, like, fully actualized.
Yeah.
Stuff on this album felt more actualized and, like, thought out and, like, planned out and, like, you know, finished.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, because you've listened to Millennium, then Black and Blue, and they're back-to-back, but you wouldn't know that they were back-to-back because the sound is just so different.
And how many years apart are they?
It only came out a year and a half after Millennium.
Mm. But,
So it's not even like years had passed.
But I really liked, and I'll tell you later what,
I think at the end,
which song was the one that I listened to the most.
I think I know which one it is, but I'll wait till the end to guess, but I think I have an idea.
But yeah, I mean, you can already guess how I'm going to rank it anyway at the end. I'm going to put this one at number one, and then at dead last, which is number two for right now.
For right Millennium. Now. Yeah. No, Millennium, you know, it's funny because, like, Millennium is my second to least favorite album of theirs, and Black and Blue...
Is your second favorite, right?
Is my second favorite, yes. So, I do think DNA is going to be my favorite, though, because just based off the songs, I've only
heard... would that put this one at your third, do you think, or still at second? No, I guess it would have to be at third, right?
I'm torn because In a World Like This, where the album based off their documentary is probably one of my favorites. But, again, doesn't sound anything like Black and Blue. So I really feel like they're both right up there for favorite albums.
Right.
And they're just so different, it's so hard to compare. Yeah. That's where I'm torn. But I think DNA will surpass. And I'm not just saying that because it's new. I genuinely am in love with the last four songs they've had out. I haven't even heard the album yet.
Yeah. I mean, we listened to Breathe, and that was really exciting.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
It was all a cappella. It was amazing. Yeah. It's the essence of their talent right there, which I think is... not to talk about the other album, but since it's coming out, I think that they put whatever... Similar to Black and Blue, I think that Millennium was so huge, even though I felt it to be very anticlimactic as an album, that I felt like they really knew that they had to step up their next album, and they were the most famous they ever were, so Black and Blue, I think, lived up to the hype of their career.
Like, it'd be interesting just to go back in time and just, with only knowledge of, like, everything up to then.
Yeah.
Because I only heard, like, what was on the radio.
Yeah, of course.
And, but, oh, yeah, I mean, because Millennium was such a hit, mm-hmm. but compared to Black and Blue, it feels like it shouldn't be as much of a hit as, because Black and Blue is great.
Yeah, I thought, it was, again, one of my favorite albums. I think it's amazing.
Like, I feel like Black and Blue should have come first, and then Millennium after that.
Yes.
You know?
I could see that.
In the sense of, like, how, like, you make a hit, and then you make something kind of, like, whatever after.
Yeah.
Instead of making something like whatever, and then everybody being excited about whatever, and then making something really good at, like, that's not usually how these things work out.
No. Well, and I think they were trying to have Millennium be adult contemporary because they were so pop boy band, so I think they were trying to go that route for that like sophomore album in America, and obviously, like, hey, it worked for them at the time. I do agree, like, looking back, I'm like, I wonder I wasn't really as thrilled with Millennium, but Black and Blue, like, I was obsessed with that album.
Yeah.
When it came out, I was a junior in high school. Yes, I was a junior in high school, and it was snowing because it came out in November, and me and my best friend and her brother and her mom and her little sister, we all went to Norwich to pick up our pre-held albums. And
pre-order?
Thank you, pre-ordered albums. And we went to the mall to go pick it up, and we found out that their album had a bonus song, How Did I Fall in Love with You? But it was in Walmart on the other side of town, and we literally on the bus in the snow went to the other side of town just to buy that album with the bonus song on there. Thanks. So yeah, but yeah, The Call, I would give it a 4
out of 5.
It's not my favorite, but I love it a lot. I think the concept is really interesting because it's a song about cheating, and it's like that's the like go-to song about, you know, cheating on your girlfriend. And I think they did that. I know they did that.
That's why I gave it a 5.
Because it's so different. You don't normally like just put that out there, but they did that. And I think they did that on purpose, knowing that everything they have is romantic and soft and sweet. So they're like, let's do something different and see what it's like for us being the bad guys for once. So, yeah.
Also, not even in regards to like the video, but the song itself makes you think of like a chase.
It is, because it's like bump, 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 bump. You know, just like very like building up, you know. And then they do like the chorus where they're like, harmonizing. Yeah. And it's also then leading up to this like chase. So it's good. It is very unique how they did it. And I liked it a lot.
We'll talk about the video later.
Okay.
Shape of My Heart. Jinx.
My heart.
You can't talk. Until you I say talk. Your name.
Oh my god, go on.
I said Jinx, so you can't talk. Until I say your name. Alright, whatever, Taylor.
Thank you. How would you rank this one? Or rate it. How'd you rate it?
Give it a 5.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously? Oh my god, I'm so happy to hear this.
I'll tell you something at the end which will probably really blow your mind too.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait.
I don't have much to say, but I just like, I like The Call. I like Shape of My Heart.
Shape of My Heart. I also had a 5 for Shape of My Heart.
I do have notes for some songs. I'll try to make sense of them because they are on these note cards and it's sloppy. Get Another Boyfriend.
Wait, I wanted to tell you how much I love Shape of My Heart.
All right, Shape of My Heart.
That's their first single off their album. I gave it a 5. I just love it. I think it's like, for me, the song has a special meaning to me in the sense of I can relate to that song, and then feeling like, you know, you're like kind of hidden and not really, not to go too in-depth with it, but like that you feel like you're kind of hidden. And that, you know, you're not really getting the recognition that you deserve. So I feel like, you know, that song really speaks to me, and I love it.
Cool.
Yeah. Get Another Boyfriend.
Get Another Boyfriend. Oh, I don't think I rated this one, but I put the hook is 5. I love the hook, except for the ending. When they say Get Another Boyfriend, it's kind of goofy.
Oh.
Because the...
Get Another Boyfriend. Yeah.
That part's goofy. Kind
of goofy to you? Okay.
But everything up to that is really great.
Okay.
So that one, I think that's a 4. It would have been a 5 if it didn't say Get Another Boyfriend. But that Get Another Boyfriend is so goofy that it just docks a whole point.
Oh my god.
But everything else about it is great. And also I said the hook is 5. Nick's vocals like MJ. Brian's harmonies, A++++.
Yeah.
That's all I wrote.
I gave it a 5. And fun fact, so this song was never released.
Did you get another boyfriend after you heard that song?
No.
That's a fun fact.
No. I didn't even have one when this one came out. Obviously,
maybe they should have Maybe they should have changed and say, get a fucking boyfriend. Get a fucking boyfriend.
You know
what? See, when they say get another boyfriend like that, it sounds like Willy Wonka.
Really? Okay, I say can it. See. Like a Oompa Loompa was saying it. Oh my god.
That sounds like Willy Wonka.
No, that sounds like Mario Brothers to me. Dun 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 dun. No, that's like, no, that, what you just said, is the stage in Mario Brothers right before they're about to fight a character. Think about it. We could go on for hours about this, Jacob.
You're wrong.
I'm right.
You're wrong.
I'm right. We will ask the fans. They'll tell us otherwise.
What's the fun fact about getting another boyfriend?
The fun fact is that this was never a single, right? Although it should have been. But AJ's wife loves this song. She freaking loves this song. So when they did their Vegas residency, they did all their singles, and she insisted that this needs to be on their Vegas. Yeah, no, not the encore. Just it needs to be a part of their Vegas show. So this, I think, is one of the only songs that's not a single that's actually a part of their show, and it's a huge hit. I love it, and AJ loves it too. Yep.
Well, if AJ loves it, no, I'm just kidding.
It must be good.
Shining Star. I gave it a 4.
I gave it a 3. It's all right.
I gave one of these a 3. Oh, that's it. Yeah, maybe I'm going to say 3.5, actually.
Okay.
And then I'll say, this is my note. Nick's verse reminds me of, oh, this is why it's a 4, actually, now. Nick's verse reminds me of Thunder by Prince and the New Power Generation and Thieves in the Temple.
I gotta look that up now. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. And actually, I think I can discern their voices now.
Wow.
And that's why I said Nick. But we'll listen to it after hours. I mean, when we're done here.
Yeah.
We'll see if I'm right.
I would, yeah.
Because I don't want to be wrong on the podcast.
Yeah. No, but I will say, listeners, when we were watching the documentary and they have the background sounds, Jacob almost guessed each of them correctly. That was very impressive, by the way. Did your best work yet.
I think I probably got like 40% right, but not bad.
I thought you did 80% right.
Well, you know, I stopped guessing because they kept repeating songs.
Yeah, so I mean, if you already guessed it right the first time, you don't need to redo it again. You're just showing off at that point.
Yeah.
No one likes to show off. No, it was very impressive.
Thank you.
I didn't know if you entered a fresh new gate of hell by knowing all those songs, but I loved it.
No, I don't care. I love Black and Blue. So.
All right. Oh, Rodney Jerkins also produced Shining Star, which has, I think it's like Dark Child.
Okay.
Yeah, if you know of any of his work, or Dark Child. Like Beyonce, Destiny's Child, that was Dark Child. So okay. I could hear kind of a similar sound in Shining Star. It was fine.
Okay, that makes sense that it reminded me of Prince and the New Power Generation and that stuff. Okay. I promise you, I just put 5.
Really?
You know what? I promise you. Mm-hmm. I think the way it started. Oh, actually, I remember for sure. I promise you, I was kind of like, whatever. This sounds like kind of like it's like a cheesy Disney type song.
Okay.
But the hook is great.
Okay. I'm shocked, I have to say.
This song I listened to a ton.
Was this the one you listened to the most?
Yeah.
I promise you.
I promise you.
Really?
I
would
to the
not
song.
Have guessed that.
I listened to the song, it would end, and then I would start it over again. While I was working on stuff. Which usually when I work on stuff, I just play it till the end. But I kept replaying it over and over again.
Seriously?
So I had to stop while I was working just to
play it over again?
Yeah.
I would
which
not
is
have
not,
thought that
Which is
at
not
all.
A big thing to do on a computer.
No.
It's all there, but it was still something I was doing.
I'm so shocked right now because I thought it was going to be Get Another Boyfriend only because when we watched the documentary, that was the only song that you sang out loud And I was...
I sing along too, yeah.
Yeah, so I was really shocked by that. So I thought for sure that was the one that you replayed the most. I would have never even thought, I promise you. I gave it a 3. I just was like, it's okay. Yeah. I thought the slow songs in this album were not the shining stars. I did air quotes there.
Which is not a slow song.
I promise you.
Shining star.
No, no, it's not. Yeah. But I thought it was a good pun, is what I was trying to do there. But I didn't think it was the... I didn't think the slow songs were the hits of this album, which is really more of their thing. But the up-tempo ones were really, really good. But yeah, I promise you, I was like, it's okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to give that a 5. I'm going to give that a 6.
Wow, because you can play it so much.
Yeah.
The answer to our life.
5. My only note is very, very, very catchy.
Yes, that's why I actually gave it a 4, because it's so catchy. Like, just the beat in the background, it just, like, kept going. And I think they used that song the most in the documentary of Around the World. I kept hearing The Answer to Our Life over and over and over again. And I'm like, yeah, because it's so damn catchy. So it's just, yeah, it's like very poppy, very cheesy, but very catchy. Everyone.
Originally it was a 5.
Okay.
But I had to knock it down to a 4.
Why? I gave it a 5. It's one of my favorite songs off the album.
It has a Britney Spears sample, right?
Does it? I don't know. I don't remember
it. Sounds
that.
Like it, right?
Does it sound like it? Maybe. What song are you thinking of from Britney Spears that you think has a sample?
Oh, it just sounds like her voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I gave it a 5. I love it. I thought it was like a combination of, oh, you know what? Like Baby One More Time. I think I can
see that.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
They once again put another song out that was kind of like a larger than life-ish song where they thank their fans. But I thought it was like everybody and larger than life put together. And then it was like the way that they had, I just thought it was interesting. I loved it a lot.
Yeah. So it was a 5, but then I had to knock it down to a 4. And I put knock a point off because of the circus sound after AJ says the word circus. It was like a really like cheesy like circus sound effect when he says the word circus.
Yeah.
I think he says like life is like a circus or whatever.
Oh, what is
that? And there's like a little like cheesy like do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Like circus
sound.
You've
been inside the circus and then it stops and plays the, yeah. I thought at the time when the album came out that that was a play on NSYNC. And I thought it was kind of a mockery because when NSYNC had No Strings Attached,
right.
It looked like a circus.
Right.
And they were marionettes. So I thought it was very similar to that. But I could see why, because Britney Spears' album Circus came out many years later after Black and Blue. So maybe she copied them, if that's what you thought the comparison was. But I thought there was kind of a dig at NSYNC. Subliminally.
You know what? That's funny. I was watching, this past week I've been watching a lot of videos on rap beef,
mm-hmm.
and it would be funny to kind of trace the lineage. Maybe we should do that. Trace
Ooh,
the lineage
boy
of
beef?
Boy band beef.
I would love that.
BBB.
BBB. Triple B. There you go. More than that.
3.
Ooh. I gave it a 4. Why did you give it a 3?
I don't know. This is just like a whatever song for me.
Okay.
This is filler.
You thought it was a filler? I kind of liked it because it had a little touch of country sounding to it. So I thought it was a little kind of country-ish. So I thought that was different. That was cute. I loved the melodies of it. I thought it got stuck in my head. And I thought it was a really good slow song of theirs. So I gave it 4. Time.
5.
Same.
Very Boys to Men-ish.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was a reflective song, and this was the one where they all wrote it. Because they all talk about like how things used to be, and there's a line where he's like, someone says, and I think it's either Nick or Brian,
mm-hmm.
it says, singing a song at the drop of a dime.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it was Nick, yeah.
Yeah. which made me think of the Show 'Em What You're Made Of documentary.
Yeah.
So I like that one. I like that one a lot. I thought that one was really good.
That is actually one of my all-time favorite Backstreet Boys songs, is Time. Because I love, I actually didn't realize that they all co-wrote it until we had to do this episode.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that it was one of my all-time favorite songs and they all wrote it, I thought was so awesome. And I think I say this so many times, but you know, I love their humility. It's one of my favorite things about them. And so just the fact that they have a song that in the peak of their career that's very reflective of, like, you know, look at where we've come, look at what we've done. And it also was like a song that I had for me and my best friend, because I thought it was very similar to like, and it could be for anybody really, of like, look at how we've grown in the course of time, you know.
Yeah.
And I like the song. My favorite verse is when they say, time is what it is, come what may. I thought it just sounded really beautiful on that album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not for me.
Was it not for you?
Oh, no. That's the next song.
I know. That's what I was... What did you... how'd you rate that song?
I just put a 5.
Ah, okay.
I don't know why I just put a 5.
Okay. I gave it a 4. I loved it. But it wasn't one of my favorite tracks on there, but it was close to it. That was really catchy. It was really good.
Yes, I Will. Mm-hmm. Another 5.
Wow.
All I put was A Song About Marriage.
Yeah. I gave it a 1.
Mm.
I thought it was... No. Sorry, I'm going to flip this. It's a 2. The last 3 songs on the album were snoozers for me. And I thought this was one of them. I was like, it's okay. It's fine. I don't care if it's on here or not. Like, ooh. So I gave it a 2.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's true. I put a 5.
Wow. Okay. Also 2 for me.
Here's the thing. Honestly, like, the first half of the album is solid.
Yes. I agree. Second
I wouldn't say that the second half carries it home.
Yeah, it
but
doesn't.
But it keeps things afloat, which I think is enough for me.
Okay.
I mean, I have albums by artists and bands that I love where it's really just the first half and I appreciate the second half,
mm-hmm.
and I know those songs, but the first half stands out more so for me, and I rarely listen to the last half, but I still think it's good.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I kind of felt like the last, for me anyway, the last 3 were fillers. I thought, you know, let's just put in these, you know, like slow songs at the end. And just, you know, put them in there and then just end it on that note. So that's kind of how I felt about the last 3. But, I mean, again, like, I these might be ranked 1 or 2 on this album, but song-wise of their whole, like, you know, discology, I wouldn't say that they were 1 or 2s in comparison to, like, Millennium. I would say they ranked more if I had to, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah. So for this album, I said 2 for It's True.
Yeah.
The last one on here, which is not the bonus song. I just realized what the bonus song is. This one is How Did I Fall in Love with You? I think Howie wrote this one. Yes. I gave it a 1. This was my least favorite song on this album.
5.
Of course you did.
The harmonies, A... plus plus.
Okay.
Great ballad, and Brian's exit, beautiful.
Oh, wow. That is a very descriptive song, or descriptive review of that song. I just, like, I thought it was, like, I was bored by it. I was so bored. So I just wasn't impressed. Their bonus song, which is called What Makes You Different Makes You Beautiful, I thought is a solid 4, in my opinion. I love the theme of the song. I can't remember if it was before or after Christina Aguilera's song called Beautiful, but I just thought it was such a great message. And it was in the movie The Princess Diaries. Fun fact.
That is a great movie.
It is a great movie. And I think that song is a great theme to that movie because it's so true.
I remember seeing The Princess Diaries like on TV, I think, or maybe my sister rented it, and then I ended up having to watch it, and it's awesome.
I love it.
It's so good.
I love it.
Is the second one as good?
It's all right. It's not as good as the first, though, but it's good. It's solid. It would be like the second half of Black and Blue.
Okay, cool.
That's how I would describe that, now that we have a good reference point. So overall, your favorite song of this album is I Promise You?
Favorite song? Yeah, I Promise You for sure.
Ah, nice.
Hold on. Okay. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Their music videos. So, they had three singles on this album. Yeah. The first one was Shape of My Heart. Second single was The Call. And then the third one was More Than That. So the first one, I wrote, here's my notes for Shape of My Heart. So the whole concept of the video is in a blue tint, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah, which is like a rehearsal.
They're in a theater in L.A. That's where they filmed it at. I liked it. I mean, I liked it. It was fine. It was not my favorite music video of theirs, but I thought visually it was pretty cool. I liked the whole blue, and they made it blue purposefully for the theme of the album, so I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Fun fact, even though you didn't know this, but maybe some of our listeners know this, David Foster is a very well-known music producer. The blonde in the music video is his daughter, Sarah Foster, who you might have known from TV show The New 90210. The new one, not the old one.
The new one.
She was in, I think she was like the blonde girl's sister in that one. But she was in The New 90210.
Nice.
You know who else was in 90210?
David Foster Wallace.
No, Meghan Markle. Like as in Duchess Meghan Markle that was in Suits that married Prince Harry. She was in 90210 in the very first episode.
I don't care.
Okay, well, that's my fun fact.
But our listeners who do care, I don't care.
Well, it's no Black and Blue album overview, but whatever. That's fine. That's fine. What are your thoughts on Shape of My Heart?
I mean, the song's great. It was fine.
Yeah, it's fine. The Call was amazing, I thought. So The Call was, the premise of it is they're cheating on their girlfriends.
Yep.
And they're all being chased around by this girl.
Yep.
So each of them segue into different scenes being chased by this girl who's, I believe, trying to kill them, right? Yeah. Like, they keep marking off their faces on the billboard, right, one by one. And the whole chasing that you're talking about in the song is so complimentary to the chasing in the music video. Mm-hmm. So it goes very well. There's a little kind of, like, Matrix type of scenes in there.
It kind of reminded me of, like, yeah, the Matrix and maybe, like...
The long leather coat that Kevin was wearing made me think of that.
Yeah.
Neo.
Or, like, maybe, like... the movie Seven what was the other one, Fight Club maybe.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
I could see that,
but yeah, it was good. It was because the song is very like chasey. Mm-hmm. Like
it's like a race,
intense.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to know if like did the song dictate how the Or did yeah, did the song dictate how the video sounds, or did they have the idea of the video?
Yeah, interesting.
And then that dictated how the song sounded at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know.
Hmm. I don't know, but that could make sense. Because I could totally see your point of, like, when you're watching this video, you're like, was this song made for this video? Like, because it seemed like it was perfectly well-blended.
Right.
Which you don't really get too often. So it's definitely one of my favorite music videos of theirs. Like, the narrative was fantastic, the storyline was good, and at the end, they're all basically caught by the women that they were cheating on. Yeah.
It also kind of reminded me of that Limp Bizkit video, Take a Look Around, which was the Mission Impossible one.
Okay. I don't remember seeing that video. I probably... Is it like the remake of one of like the theme for Mission Impossible?
It incorporates it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then I have heard that. I just don't remember the video, but I'll have to watch it afterwards.
Yeah.
To see the comparison. Well, it's interesting, too, because I thought that... So, when you only hear the song, The Call, it's the Backstreet Boys being, like, these bad guys, bad boys, whatever, cheating on their girlfriends. But then in the video, there's kind of a little bit of a message at the end saying, you shouldn't do this because you're going to get caught. So, they're, like, kind of like, well, you know, we did this, but don't do it because you'll get caught and you'll get killed. So, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. When I researched the notes on this music video, I guess when AJ was talking about his drug addiction to Oprah, he shared that the first time he ever did coke was on the set of this video.
Mm. Interesting.
I know, which if I could be honest, I really thought that happened a lot sooner than the Black and Blue era, because they had been, I don't know, like famous for like 8 years at this point. So I was sitting here thinking, I was like, I have to say, not that it's impressive, but I really thought he had started drugs way sooner than that. Not because he looked like it, but because of how long they had been famous for.
Well, I just assumed that they were all on coke during that promotional thing.
I mean, no, I, you know. Because
you'd have to be.
I mean.
For 100 hours.
100 hours flying around the world. Performing in
Stockholm, Tokyo.
I know.
Sydney. They stopped in Perth or whatever.
Yeah.
It was. Or Perth.
Yeah. Perth, yeah. I thought that...
And then Cape Town, Rio.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it definitely prepared them for the cruise, because the cruise is the same dynamic of, like, nonstop energy. Because when I was on the cruise, I'm like, I'm exhausted. They have to be on coke or something, because I don't know how they're, like, keeping up all night long. This is nuts.
So, but at this point, do you think any of them are?
I don't think so, no.
Well, but you said...
No, I'm saying, like, to have that kind of, so, before, like, in my mind, I was like, how are they, like, doing this? Because how do you have the energy, and you're in your 40s, all four-fifths of them are in their 40s at this point, how do you sustain this kind of energy for hours? Not even to...
Well, there's Coke's cousin, coffee.
Oh, if that's Coke's cousin, I mean.
So anyway.
Anyway, so I checked, by the way, because I had wondered this. I was like, was AJ doing coke during this trip extravaganza? But if he said the first time that he did it was on the set of The Call, and that was filmed.
So that happened after.
That happened after. It was filmed on December 22nd, and they did around... Yeah, you're right, I fucking looked that shit up, because I wanted to know the timeline of the drug abuse.
No, I'm just thinking of it. You're going to promote without any videos? I guess, yeah, going around, whatever, that's a...
Well, at the time, Shape of My Heart came out. No, they did Shape of My Heart. That was the first single. And that was out when they started this extravaganza. And that was in November. So a month before AJ starts his drug addiction is when they did this thing. So, sure. So, yeah, I did the time research for that. I time stamped it. There you go. Now, I don't know when Nick started. I think he started afterwards, because he had also had a coke addiction as well. Can I tell you a very weird thing?
Is it that coke is expensive? Because I know that.
Well, I mean, sure, but that's not what I was going to... So, when I was in high school, I was using the Ouija board with my friend, and I specifically asked the Ouija board before, like, I think it was around when Millennium came out, and I was like, which of the Backstreet Boys do drugs? I literally asked that as a question on a Ouija board, and the answer was AJ and Nick. So the Ouija board was right. Kevin, Brian, and Howie are all clean.
How is a Ouija board going to know stuff about people that are living? isn't it just like answers about people that are dead?
Apparently not, because it predicted it right. I like to make a disclaimer. I don't use the Ouija board anymore. This was in my high school. This was the craziest thing I ever did in high school.
Yeah.
Again, why I did not have a boyfriend. So I didn't need to get another one.
Whenever I don't know how to respond to a text, I just use a Ouija board.
Oh my God. Dear God. That's something. Yeah. What are your other... Oh, wait. We have our last music video.
Let me guess what it is.
Uh-huh.
So we already did Shape of My Heart.
We did.
And also, The Call.
Correct.
So the only one we have left is it... Shit.
Do you want me to give you a hint? I could give you... You want to look at your... Okay, look at your list.
Oh, is it Answer to Our Life?
No.
More than that?
Yes!
Oh, correct. That's the one that I was scrapped on my thing.
That's why I was like, that was going to be my clue to you, is that it's the one that you wanted to scrap, because you didn't like it. That's the music video that we watched.
Actually, that's a good one, so I'm going to put that up at a 4.
Aw, okay. The music video that you didn't remember, and that we watched before we recorded?
Yeah.
Okay. Music video was, I mean, what are you supposed to expect? Like, they're singing in front of the camera.
It was in a hangar with a projection.
Mm-hmm. And they're walking in the desert for a little bit.
It had that cool, like, where it's, like, fast in a city and it's, like, all the lights. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I was thinking of To Become One from the Spice Girls when you said that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of immediately. Which I really like that video of theirs, by the way. Do you have any final thoughts on Black and Blue before we wrap this up?
Well, let me put it in the ranking of... So far, Backstreet Boys albums that I've heard so far. Millennium and Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already did this, but I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Just so our listeners know. So, at number one, I'm going to put... Black and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
No contest. Then Dead Last.
Mm-hmm.
At the number two spot.
You know, I was like, there's only two.
Dead Last at the number two spot of Backstreet Boys albums that I've listened to so far. Mm-hmm. Gotta be Millennium.
Mm.
Next week, we are going to review DNA.
Yes.
The new Backstreet Boys album, which comes out next Friday, whatever that date is. I mean, just do the math. we're going to have...
The 25th.
The 25th.
25th.
We're going to have...
Ruby.
What is it? AJ...
What is it? So AJ Style Files and I have partnered up to do promotion... Cross promotion of sorts, even though I think she's doing really more promoting than we are, but she's going to take each episode and that we do and have it themed with her AJ Style Files pages. So all the fashions that you'll see for some of the episodes that we talk about, like Black and Blue, you'll see on her page. So of course she's going to promote like our stuff. So in return, if you already haven't, but I've met a lot of you listeners who have responded to our podcast and seem to be really cool friends with her. But if you haven't and you're like living under a rock, go check out AJ Style Files and promote her page. It is awesome.
I have a question for AJ Style Files.
Ooh.
Whenever it shows AJ with black nails, do you put the actual brand of black nail polish, or do you just say, get a Sharpie?
It's a good question. Tune in next week to find out what the answer is to that one.
Yes.
Yeah, I am so pumped to be doing the DNA album review. We've asked our lovely guest co-host, Ruby, to join in on this, and she is just as pumped as I am. It's going to be epic. Did you double-check our lineup of episodes, by the way?
No, I did not, because I am not as invested in this thing as you are. But I do have, so I had one question. When you said that Black and Blue is one of your top albums of all time, mm-hmm. What are your top five albums of all time?
Okay, wait. Oh, it's so good. Okay, so
I'll pause it so I can go to the bathroom.
Okay.
All right, so you have your top five albums of all time.
Yes.
Which include Black and Blue, right?
That's correct. Okay. So I gotta be honest, I had six because I was very torn.
That's fine.
Okay, so my top six, in no particular ranking, by the way, because I love them all and they're all very different. So number one is Black and Blue by the Backstreet Boys.
Cool.
Number two is Meteora by Linkin Park.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite albums of all time. Number three is Jay-Z and Kanye West, Watch the Throne.
Mm.
Love that album. Number four is Stripped, Christina Aguilera.
Ooh.
Good one. Number five is I Created Disco, Calvin Harris, his very first album ever. Very good stuff. And then number six is Florence and the Machine, Lungs.
Nice.
Thank you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought they were all very different genres of music, too. Or, like, not all different. Like, some of them are mostly pop, but, like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm-hmm.
You will tell us next week what your top five is, correct?
Yes. Tune in next week for the DNA album where I reveal my top five favorite albums of all time, plus we review some album.
Not long awaited album by any means whatsoever.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for checking us on the Black and Blue album review. So excited to resume doing this, and hear back from us next week. Bye.
Brian was always doing impressions of people when they were about to go into the country of where they were landing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to think if that was racist or not. Before they were going to Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah.
He was like, we're going to Cape Town, South Africa. And it looked like he paused to try to figure out what the thing was. What the accent was going to be. And then he probably thought, no, bad. Don't do that.
Racist. That's racist.
Even though it would have been just probably regular since it was all white.
Yeah.